Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael J., and this is Hypothetical. Once again, I welcome back Scott. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me back again, Mike.
It's still not tired of me?
No, you know what? It's I mean, you and I have known each other for over well over 30 years, and if I haven't gotten tired of you by now, odds are it's probably not going to happen. I'm just, I guess grateful that you keep having me back.
Of course. Yeah. It gets a little strange around here, but hey.
I'm surprised, you know, after we got done recording the last episode that I did with you, you know, we started talking about how, you know, messed up our upbringing must have really been if we're able to come up with all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we had a fairly normal upbringing in a fairly normal place.
Hard
and
to
yet
believe.
Somehow our minds are so twisted that, you know, we can think of this kind of stuff. And so I'm trying to figure that out. So
I don't think we ever will, but
no.
We can certainly think about it.
Hey, teams of psychiatrists have tried. Teams of psychiatrists have failed.
That's right. All right. So before we run up any more psych bills, let's jump right into the warm-up game. Today, we're going to do who, what, where, when, and why. And the topic is trick-or-treating. Comes up in a little while. So who will you go trick-or-treating with?
So I have always been one that prefers to actually go trick-or-treating alone.
Okay.
Now, the reason is that I don't have to have anybody try to keep up with me. Sure. I can move, you know, from house to house quicker, get all the candy.
What do you have Usain Bolt with you?
Usain Bolt would be okay. I think he's a little bit busy trying to become a professional soccer player now. But
for one day.
No, for one day, I guess, yeah. But I would actually, no, I'd do it by myself. And the reason I would do it by myself, one, speed. Two, no witnesses. So if I decide
Are you going as creepy old man?
I'm not going as creepy old man. I have, you know, we'll get there. But no, the reason I want to be able to, you know, if there's people that don't give me the right candy, I want to be able to do things as, I don't know, not so much revenge, but just desserts, maybe. Yeah, no, that was bad. But I don't want anybody to be able to see me do it. Plus, I want to be able to get to all of the houses as quickly as possible who put out the bowl of candy for everybody to just take one. Oh, damn right, I'm one of those guys. In fact, I've even taken the bowl. It's, you know, I'm definitely one of those guys.
Okay.
So, all right. So, I would. And I don't know. I would say I've got a couple of different costume ideas on this one.
Okay.
The first one is going along the no witnesses theme.
Yeah.
I would have a mask of myself made, like a mask of my own face.
Okay.
Because if I'm wearing a mask of my own face, nobody's going to think it's really me underneath there. So if somebody does see me doing, you know, any of these things, they're not going to think it's really me. They're going to think it's somebody who's wearing a mask of me.
Right. Except for when the investigators go to the mask makers and say, who is the only person that ever ordered a mask that looks like your face?
Oh, I'll probably just make it myself. Oh. You know, get the urethane and do a mold on my face. And then, of course, obviously, sure. I've got to destroy all the evidence before I do that. Sure. Now, and again, this is just a precaution. I'm not going to say I'm going to do anything too illegal. But
so you're going as yourself on Halloween.
Going as myself on Halloween.
By yourself.
By myself. And that actually, and I thought about the whole mask thing, and now I'm thinking about it. That's totally not an original idea. I remember there was a Saturday Night Live episode that Barack Obama did when he was running for president in 2008, where, you know, he wore a mask of himself, you know, in one of the skits. So I didn't actually steal that. I just thought about that after the fact. So it's like, okay, wait a minute.
What if you just wear a sign that said, I am not Scott?
Yeah, that's too obvious. Or maybe I'll just sell masks of myself to have other people go as me, too. I mean, that could be kind of cool.
So you'd be like that Eminem video where there's like 50 of them?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
So where?
What do you call a group of you? Are you a flock? Are you a posse?
I think we'll call it a gang.
A gang.
It's a gang of Scots. Mainly because... Because
if one Scot wasn't disturbing enough, 50 of them.
Yeah, it would scare the crap out of people. But no, I think a group of Scots would be highly dangerous. Just like a gang. So maybe instead of just gang, we'll call a group of Scots MS-13. How about that? That just gets as dangerous as possible, right? So where I would actually scout out all of the houses that give out full-size candy bars.
Right.
And the houses that leave the candy out in bowls.
Okay.
So how we're going to scout that out is, you know what, maybe I will have a gang of Scots. Because a couple of days before Halloween, we'll have to break into people's houses and look at their candy stashes. Now, we're not going to take anything.
Right.
You know, so it's not that bad. But yeah, it's not that bad. But we'll break in. Maybe we'll just peer in through windows or, you know, whatever, just to scout out the candy stash. And then when we come back, we'll do that. Now, the thing is, I love candy bars and I love candy. And the problem with doing it with a gang is I'm going to want all the candy.
Right.
Which means there's not going to be any left for any of the others, which means I'm going to have to knock them off one by one after they've collected a whole bunch of candy.
Why don't you just give them the stuff you don't want, like the pretzels and the...
Well, but that's the thing. We're not going to go to the houses that are giving those out.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, we're scouting out ahead of time. So right. We're going to be able to, you know, to know full-size Snicker bars, you know, those are the best.
Right. But, I mean, you're a gang, so couldn't you just intimidate the people that give you the candy bars to also... give something else that's not candy to your gang, so they have something to eat too.
Well, that's more along the lines of crime.
Because breaking into houses.
Well, because you know, we don't want
stalking people is not a crime.
We don't want intimidation on there too. I mean, that then it just becomes like mob action or something like that. And then we just
50 people breaking into houses isn't mob action.
Well, not 50 into the same house. We'll spread out and
coordinating.
You know, okay, but it's but again, we're not going to take anything. You know. Right. We'll pick the lock. We'll walk in. We'll look at their candy stash, and we'll
totally fine, normal.
Yeah, exactly. Remember what I said about our upbringing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So
are you gonna do this on Halloween or is there another day?
No. We'll do it on Halloween. Yeah. There's no reason to do it off Halloween, and we'll do it during normal trick or treating hours because nothing drives me more crazy as a homeowner than somebody who shows up at my house at 9 o'clock at night. You know, ringing the doorbell, wanting candy.
Yeah.
Those are the people that get apples with razor blades in them.
Wow. All right.
Again, totally normal upbringing.
Remind me not to go trick or treating with you.
Yeah. All right. So what do you got on that one?
All right. I'm going to go trick or treating as I had a hard time figuring out my costume. Then I just figured the best costume I could possibly go as would be to go as Borat in a mankini.
Okay.
Because, as I've stated previously, my goal in life is to go on a slip and slide in a mankini with my nieces and nephew and my kids to embarrass them. So imagine trick or treating.
That's not something that's going to embarrass them. That's something that's going to scar them for life.
We'll worry about that part later.
Now, I understand doing it with your nieces and nephews because your brother's got to deal with that. Right. But I don't see why you need to do that with your own kids because you're going to have to deal with the ramifications.
Right. But I'm such a great father and uncle. I figure that, you know, there's nothing better to make Halloween great. But
okay.
I'm going to wear a mankini, go as Borat, but I'm not actually going to go with my kids or with my nieces and nephews.
Okay.
Because I don't want to traumatize them, like you said.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's okay to traumatize them while you're doing that on a slip and slide, but it's...
They're going to be having too much fun to be traumatized.
But it's not okay to traumatize them on Halloween. Now, odds are if you take them with you on Halloween instead of doing the slip and slide, they're going to be paying attention to other things.
Maybe.
So the trauma will be less.
Nobody said my logic was sound.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
So I'm bringing several people with me.
Okay.
For very different reasons. Weird reasons. So first, I'm going to have Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut coming with me. Two competitive eaters, the two best competitive eaters.
No, I know who they are, but I mean, aren't you afraid they're going to eat all your candy?
Well, here's the thing. The more candy we collect, the more they have to eat in 10 minutes. I don't care about the candy. The candy is cool and all. I want to see competitive eaters, how much candy they can consume in a very short period of time.
Okay.
Right. I also, so the Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut are coming with me. I'm also going to have Gordon Ramsay come with me.
Okay.
Because he's going to critique everybody's Halloween candy as they hand it out.
All right. That's right. Good. That one's solid.
Right. So he'll curse them out if they don't give out good Halloween candy.
What about Robert Irvine? You going to bring him too? Or just Gordon Ramsay?
Who's Robert Irvine?
Another chef who does a lot of the restaurant rebuilds on Food Network, but he's, you know, another British guy.
Okay.
And he's not as harsh as Gordon Ramsay.
Right.
But it's still, right. Yeah.
No, I'm going for maximum impact.
Okay. Right?
And so when Gordon Ramsay is done berating people handing out the candy, I'm going to have Jeff Ross there to roast them.
Oh, boy.
Because I want to have a good laugh.
Okay.
Right. So Gordon Ramsay, Jeff Ross, Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut. We're going to do it. We're going to do two rounds of trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
First, we're going to go to a neighborhood.
Okay.
A very compact neighborhood, so we can go to as many houses as we can, get as much candy as we can.
Okay.
And Gordon Ramsay can chew out as many people as he can, and Jeff Ross can roast as many people as he can.
Okay.
Then once Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut have consumed ungodly amounts of candy in 10 minutes, we're going to do a second round of trick-or-treating in an Amazon warehouse.
Okay.
Because there's no more efficient way to go trick-or-treating than in an Amazon warehouse full of candy.
Okay. Now, right. Is that going to be like a timed thing, like supermarket sweep, where you just, you know, each person gets 60 seconds to go through the aisles and throw as much candy in a cart?
I don't think you can get from end to end in 60 seconds.
Well, or whatever time it is. It doesn't have to be 60 seconds. It'll be anything.
Yeah. It'll certainly be a competitive part of this. Maybe we'll team up Kobayashi with Gordon Ramsay and Jeff Ross and Joey Chestnut together, and they can kind of do a team trick-or-treating thing.
Okay.
And then to throw everything off, we're going to do it the day before Halloween.
Interesting.
Right.
Well, that's actually a good thing because the candy supplies will be stocked fully.
Right. For those who didn't wait till the last minute, at least.
Well, right. But even the people who wait till the last minute, they'll go out the day before or whatever. Right. That's last minute to a lot of people. Right. But, you know, if you get to somebody's house at 6 o'clock, you know, there's a couple hours of trick-or-treating that's happened already. They may be completely wiped out.
Right. But so just imagine the reaction. We go trick-or-treating on October 30th, the day before Halloween. We ring the doorbell. We say trick-or-treat. And we ask for our candy. And people are going to look at us like we're off, and which we are.
And when they say no, I'm assuming Gordon Ramsay's going to lay into them?
Of course.
Okay.
Or Jeff Ross will make fun of them.
Why not bring, you know, I mean, maybe you have to dig him up, but why not bring Sam Kinison with him too? Sure. For the people that don't give you candy, he can lay into them.
Yeah, we could do that too.
You know, because again, Gordon Ramsay's great with critiquing the actual candy itself.
Right.
Jeff Ross is great for the roasting.
Right.
But you need somebody that can scream at somebody to
give you the candy. Gordon Ramsay could do that. If you don't have your meal prepared in time, if there's no food at the counter ready to be served, we'll be okay. So
All right. That's
what I'm going to do. I'm going to go trick-or-treating as Borat with a bunch of my friends. And we're going to go twice.
Don't forget Borat and the Mankini, because you can't leave that. Right. Doing it as Borat is one thing, but doing it in the Mankini is a whole another animal.
Exactly. So we're going to have two very different trick-or-treating experiences.
I can see that.
But now that I've tortured communities, I think we're going to try and do something a little nicer for everybody. For our main game, we are going to create our own charities or foundations.
Okay.
So I want to know the name of your charity, the mission, who you're going to hire to run it, who your celebrity spokesperson is going to be, and what your main fundraiser is.
All right. So I've been having a hard time coming up with a name for this one.
Okay. We can workshop it here.
But it was something I was thinking about a couple of days ago. You know, when they started evacuating the hurricane, you know, for the people down at the Hurricane Florence, the first thought that crossed my mind was the people that weren't evacuating. And I tweeted it out at TFJU that these people should just start the GoFundMe pages right now to pay for their own funerals so the families don't have to pay up for their stupidity. But then I got to thinking about my own funeral and what I want to do for a funeral, and it's going to be very expensive.
Okay.
Because I want the whole thing.
You do realize you won't be experiencing the funeral yourself.
Oh, we'll see. You know, but I want...
Unless you're faking your own death.
I've always wanted a New Orleans jazz funeral and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, have a big party.
Sure.
I want there to be kegs.
Okay.
There'll be, you know, plenty of liquor.
Crawfish.
Crawfish. you know,
gumbo.
Yeah, a little bit of
rice and beans.
Yeah,
I'm out of New Orleans food.
It's not okay. So it's not the New Orleans food per se. It's the jazz funeral that I really like.
Oh, beignets. You gotta have beignets.
Yeah, we'll have beignets. We'll have whatever food people want. I mean, maybe it'll be, you know, maybe we'll have a giant menu. You just order off whatever you want, but
during the service,
sure.
Room service. And then at the end, brought to your seat.
But at the end of the service, when my casket's up at the front of the room, I want the service to end by playing Jack in the Box song, just because I want people that are there to just see the horrified look on their faces. See, just maybe the casket's gonna pop open, my body will, you know, pop up at the end.
Are you gonna have a clown with something to twist?
No, I have a monkey twisting. Yeah, but that got me thinking, and you know, I thought about putting up a GoFundMe page to raise some money.
Are you gonna be offended if I don't go?
Well, probably not. No. So I thought about doing the GoFundMe page to start fundraising for it now, because, you know, I'm dying. I mean, not now, not in 6 months, but, you know, I probably have a good 30, 40 years left, but eventually I'm going to die.
Right.
So
start raising money.
Yeah. So the charity I was thinking about was to raise money for people who want to have fun funerals. We're going to put the fun back in funeral.
Okay. So it's like make a wish for funerals.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, with certain limits. I mean, you know, we're not going to have anything weird going on. But, you know, so that's what we're going to raise money. That's what we're going to raise money for, is so people can not only can afford the funerals, but can afford the funeral that they would want to be at if they were still alive.
Okay.
And guess what? If we don't wind up coming through on that, hey, guess what? They're not going to notice the difference.
That's right. So who's going to run this?
So I'm going to run it.
Okay.
You know, it's pretty straightforward. Pretty good. I think I do a good job, you know, from a business standpoint.
Sure.
I've done some work for charities before. I've got some okay experience in fundraising. Okay. And, you know, I've got a ton of great ideas. So if there's somebody that really just doesn't want to know what they're doing for their funeral, or, you know, has no clue what they think everybody would like, guess what? I can plan it for them, too.
So you're like a wedding planner for funerals.
Yes. And that would be a great aspect. You know, you want a band to come?
Yeah.
Sure, no problem. You want to have a Halloween-themed funeral? We'll plan it. You want to have, you know, I mean, you want to steal my idea and have the jazz funeral? Go right ahead.
Okay.
You know, we've got all that covered. You know, I'm going to have a team of people that, you know, I can bounce ideas off of. And, you know, we'll hire, you know, party coordinators and party planners and things like that to, you know, work on the actual details.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but in the most eerie way, this actually sounds kind of cool. In a way, it's not a charity, but you're going to give.
We're going to give it away. Yeah, it is a charity. We're going to register as a nonprofit.
Okay.
You know, because again, we're taking the money in to give back to the community, and you know, but you know, there's some people that we will charge. You know, if Bill Gates wants us to plan his funeral, yeah, you know what, we're going to charge Bill Gates. But if somebody who can't afford his funeral, you know, their funeral can't, you know, they want us to plan it and, you know, feel that they're deserving enough to be able to utilize our services, you know, we're not going to charge them.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So you're essentially a foundation to raise and share funds for people to have eccentric, over-the-top funerals.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even say share funds. I would, you know, because we're not going to hand them a check and say, here, have your dream funeral.
So you're actually going to do the...
Oh, we're going to do the planning. Okay.
You're going to be very hands-on.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. It's going to be like a wedding. Right. Where the party planners or the funeral planners that, you know, that we have are going to be on site during the funeral to make sure that everything goes according to plan. Make sure the band shows up on time.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure that the, you know, whatever's in their rider is taken care of.
Sure.
You know, if, you know, Eddie Van Halen comes and plays the funeral, you know what? You better believe we're not going to have any brown M&Ms waiting in the green room for him.
For a second there, I thought you were going to have a rider for the dead person.
Well,
and then realize.
Well, we will have a rider for the dead person. Just not on paper. It's somebody who's going to actually come in and like prop them up and ride them.
Oh,
but no. But we're going to make sure every little detail is taken care of, you know, down to, you know, the fun stuff, the not so fun stuff, the crazy stuff. It's all going to be solid. And that, you know, the people who can't afford it, again, who are deserving, won't have to pay for it because it'll all be the money that we raise.
Okay.
Now, what's going to be really interesting is our fundraisers.
Oh, that's an ask. So,
yeah. So, the fundraisers, see, all the fun is happening at the funerals themselves.
Right.
So, I think we need to have just a And we need to have a boring black tie fundraiser.
Okay.
And, you know, I think the people that would come would be, you know, supportive of the cause because some of them may be clients. Some of them, you know, obviously the people that are coming to a fundraiser have the money to be able to donate. You know, maybe they just want to, maybe we raffle off at the fundraiser one free funeral for one of those people. You know, completely over the top. We'll bring in a Ferris wheel. Okay. You know, for those funerals. You know, have it a carnival atmosphere. We'll have games. We'll have a dunk tank. No, the body will not be in the dunk tank.
So this boring black tie affair is turned into a carnival.
No. I'm talking about that at that person's funeral.
Oh, okay.
We're just gonna do a typical, you know, boring black tie fundraiser.
Sure.
You know, maybe we'll have a women's fundraiser with a fashion show. No, corpses will not be modeling the clothes. You know, maybe we'll show off some of the, you know, cool custom coffins that, you know, that we can do for people.
Okay.
You know, have one designed like a race car, you know, some decked out in whatever their favorite sports team is.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, one that's painted with all clowns for people that love clowns or are freaked out by clowns and their sure. living relatives just want to have one last laugh at their expense.
So who's your celebrity spokesperson?
See, that's the thing. So the celebrity spokesperson I would love to bring back. You ever see Kentucky Fried Movie?
No.
Okay. So there is a scene in Kentucky Fried Movie, and I forgot what his name was, but he's obviously dead now. It's the United Appeal for the Dead. And he is the spokesperson for the United Appeal for the Dead.
Okay.
I want him to come and do this. Now you're going to have to go pull up this clip, you know, after the fact. It's one of the most underrated movies ever come out of the 70s. But I would have him come and be the spokesperson.
Okay.
And if you don't know what he is, just go to YouTube and pull up, you know, Kentucky Fried Movie, United Appeal for the Dead, and you'll be able to see the clip and you'll understand why I want him as the spokesperson.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a strange mix of celebration and bleakness.
Yes.
And 100% weird.
Would you expect any less?
No.
I don't do 99% weird.
No, you don't.
I do 100+% weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got that.
All right. So what is your charity?
I've got two, and I'm not sure which I'm going to go with. So I'm going to give you both.
Okay.
And then you can tell me which one I should follow up on. All right. So first charity is going to be called the Just Your Average Charity.
Okay.
Its mission is going to be to improve the lives of average kids.
Okay.
Because they seem to be forgotten about. You know, those in need, there's charities for them.
Yeah. Those who excel, there's scholarships.
Those who excel or come from wealthy means, they've got what they need.
Yeah.
The kids in the middle, we get forgotten about.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Just Your Average Charity to benefit the lives of average kids.
You realize that if you're like a B student in school, you get screwed.
Yeah. So this is for all those B and C kids.
Right? Okay.
It's going to be run by somebody named Joe because it's Just Your Average Charity.
Okay.
So we're going to have an average Joe running it. My celebrity spokesperson is going to be Peter Gibbons from Office Space.
Okay.
Played by Ron Livingston.
Yep.
Right? Because he's pretty much
average.
Average, but people recognize him.
Yeah.
And our fundraiser, there's going to be a leisurely stroll for a race.
It's not even really a race. It's just, you know, you're going to go through a leisurely stroll through the park.
Yeah. Nothing special about it.
Okay. All right.
That's going to be it. It's a very simple charity.
Now, for the fundraiser.
Very important.
For the fundraiser, are you at least going to have like t-shirts for the people that are walking? Or is it just going to be just like, okay, people are going to randomly show up and you're just going to just go on a little stroll? And you know,
it is a race though, but it's a stroll. No running. No speed walking. And yes, there'll be shirts. They'll just be plain white t-shirts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, nothing special about them.
All right. So if that's one, I'm scared to hear about the other one.
My other one is very different. It has nothing to do with average kids.
Okay.
It's called Sparkle Wars. And it's not what you think it is.
Okay.
Oh, it might be. I don't know. Its mission is going to to replace real bombs with sparkle bombs of the same size. Too often now, especially with drone technology and all these bombings going on all over the world, people are blowing up innocent civilians. And, you know, we're trying to root out a terrorist, we'll send in a missile, and we don't know if we actually killed him or not because he might have disintegrated. We don't know. But if we replace the bomb with a sparkle bomb, a giant, like 4,000-pound sparkle bomb, we drop it on him, we'll be able to figure out the terrorist real quick. He'll be covered in glitter. No innocent civilians get killed. It'll be such a pain to clean up that most people that are getting targeted with bombs will be like, I surrender. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me. I'd rather you've taken my life than me have to clean up all this glitter. Because you'll be finding glitter on you for years. It'll never fall. You can never wash it all off. It just doesn't work that way. You think you're totally clean and you still got glitter on you.
You know, when you first started talking about this, you're right. This is actually not anywhere near what I thought it was going to be. But when you first started talking about this, my first thought was, holy crap, when did you join Code Pink? And the more I think about it, as you're kind of going into detail on this, the more it's actually not that bad of an idea. I will tell you, as somebody who has had glitter in places that are extremely difficult to get glitter out of, you're right. That's absolutely not fun. And as somebody who hates glitter with a passion, I don't even allow glitter in my house. I don't allow my kids to use glitter in the house because it's a terrible. I honestly think that whoever created glitter is more evil than the people who created nuclear weapons. So now, not that that's even, but whatever. That's another story. But I kind of like that idea. Now you're taking, you know, they already have bombs now that they can drop that aren't designed to really kill people. They're loaded with like little tiny carbon fibers, and they're designed to be dropped over power plants and power lines because it doesn't destroy the infrastructure. It just coats it with these carbon fibers that cuts off the power, and then, you know, but it takes a long time to clean that up, but the infrastructure's still there.
Right.
Now, so it's kind of along those same lines.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like that. I mean, they used to use country music as forms of torture, you know, right, for people. But I think that...
Can you just imagine like a 4,000-pound bomb, but the internals is just glitter?
Yeah. I would almost consider that inhumane. you know, yeah, that's how much I despise glitter. I would actually...
Like, can you just imagine if we had hit Osama bin Laden with a glitter bomb? How upset he would be?
Yeah, but the last thing you want to do is trigger a guy like that.
He'd be too busy getting glitter off himself to do anything.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I would almost call that a war crime. That's, you know...
But nobody dies.
Well, you know, we got to find the terrorist, and we got to kill the terrorist.
They'll be covered in glitter, so we can go and capture them.
You don't capture them. You don't want to do that because then they're gonna. You wind up locking them up, and then they wind up.
Okay, well,
you know, yeah.
Politics aside, yeah, a lot less civilians will be killed.
Okay, that'll give right? you. That, yeah, that'll right. give you.
And it'll. But get the problem, to the heart and soul of insurgencies.
Well, but here's the problem, though. Yes. You won't kill a lot of civilians, but what you'll do is you'll piss them off because they're going to get covered in glitter too.
Right.
So what are they going to do? They're going to start a whole new insurgency and come after you.
We'll figure that part out later. It's propaganda okay. wars. And
all
stuff
right.
Like
so
that.
I'm scared to ask how you're going to fundraise for this.
I haven't quite figured that out yet. So let me work my way through there.
Okay. And
I'm going to have the Impractical Jokers cast run this charity.
Okay.
Okay. Because it just seems like the kind of thing that they could do.
Okay. Right?
So those four guys play jokes on each other, try to embarrass each other.
Right, right.
This seems like, you know, the goal of this charity is essentially to embarrass terrorists. Right?
Okay. I don't see it more of an embarrassment.
I mean, really, we're trying to save lives and stuff.
Yeah,
but,
no. I see it more as pissing off terrorists as opposed to, you know, well, to doing that. But
they'll be pissed off when they get embarrassed, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But I need to have a sort of a tough edge to this charity also. So my celebrity spokesperson will be Vin Diesel.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
I think he'd just be perfect person to explain all this. And
so you know, Vin Diesel, but not The Rock.
The problem is that the Vin Diesel and The Rock are feuding apparently.
No. I mean, as opposed to like one over the other. I mean,
I just want Vin Diesel this time.
Okay.
You know, he seems to be just the right person to do it. Just the right personality for it.
All right.
He's a big tough dude. Got a soft side. Okay. I'm sure. So he'll be the celebrity spokesperson. Now, to fundraise, I haven't quite figured that out yet, but it'd probably be the sale of some sort of glitter vacuum.
Okay.
For your small arts and crafts messes and stuff. Right. There's
Have you played with glitter recently? There's no such thing as a small arts and crafts, you know, mess.
Small in comparison. Small in comparison to a 4,000-pound bomb.
Because I'm going to tell you, having kids that have used glitter before,
yes,
a small arts and crafts mess when it comes to glitter, you're going to find glitter. Like, absolutely. You know, if you're doing it in the basement, you're going to find glitter upstairs in the bedrooms. You're going to find it in your car. You're going to find it. Yeah. I mean, it
follows you everywhere.
Yes.
Right. So we're going to have some sort of specialty branded glitter vacuum of some sort.
Okay.
It's got special filters or something to collect the glitter. I don't know how it'll actually work. That's not my problem. But I think that'll be our fundraiser. Instead of having an event, because I would not trust anybody at an event to raise money for glitter bombs.
Interesting.
There's way too much fear that glitter will appear. And then you'll never get rid of it.
I think that's a good point.
So I don't think we should have like an event fundraiser. I think it needs to be like a product fundraiser.
Okay. So, I mean, you could also sell, not glitter related, but you can also sell like those chocolate bars that like baseball teams, you know, would sell. Was that World Class Chocolate or something like that? That tasted horrible, but you know, hey, we sell them for $1 and raise money for our baseball team. And,
right.
Get the giant boxes of M&Ms that the people.
I'd still be concerned that I would open up a bar and glitters are pouring out. So I think at least initially we're going to have to do something that focuses on the cleanup of glitter, because it's the only thing I would not expect to actually have glitter in it when I opened it.
Okay. What about a vacuum is good because you need the vacuum to get up the glitter, but what about also selling like a special solvent that you can use to get glitter off yourself? You know, so you go in your, you know, go yeah, in the shower and like, you know, right. like, I tell you.
The problem is though, that once you get out of the shower and you have no more glitter on you, you pick up new glitter.
Well, but maybe it has a
Repellency.
Like a repellent for it as well. You know, like you've got antimicrobial stuff and you put an anti-fingerprint coating on something and all of a sudden it's going to repel the oils and not going to leave fingerprints. I mean, you know this of all people. Yeah. So maybe we...
So some sort of lotion to repel. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm all for that.
That could be good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, regular soap and water, and this is speaking from experience, does not get glitter off of anything.
Nope. Definitely not. Yeah. And when it does get a little bit of glitter off, more just appears.
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from.
Just keeps growing.
Yeah.
All right. So those are my two charities. Which one should I focus on first? Just your average charity or Sparkle Wars?
I think just the average charity would be interesting, because I think you'd wind up getting more donations from families that have average kids.
Right.
Which
is most families.
Which is, you're right. That is most families. You know, my kids are average. You know, your kids are average.
Oh, and I don't know. I think our kids, your kids, my kids, like to think they aren't.
No, they like to think they aren't, but look, you know, we're speaking honestly here. They're average. You know, they're not, your kid is not, you know, he's not Michael Jordan.
No.
He's not Connor McDavid. You know, where, you know, and neither are my kids. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with being average.
Exactly.
And average kids need the support. They need the funding.
Right.
Average kids need to go to college too.
True.
They need scholarship money, because average kids a lot of times come from average parents.
Right.
And average parents don't necessarily, you know, have the means to send all 8 kids to college.
True. All right. So I'm gonna start focusing on that.
Yeah. I'm gonna start building a funeral. I'll tell you, man, that would be, I think we'd have fun with that one.
You'd have something with it for sure. Right. Well, thanks again for joining me, Scott. I appreciate it. Where can people find you online?
Depends on where they want to look. Sometimes under a rock, sometimes at TFJew on Twitter, sometimes right here on Hypothetical.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. That's it for this episode of Hypothetical. Thanks for listening. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _Hypothetical. Subscribe to Hypothetical on your podcast player of choice. Until next time, this is Hypothetical.